The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're going to talk about love this morning. The title of my message is Follow After Love. There's three little boys who were to be in a Christmas play. One of them got sick, so they had to choose. And they were sick, about 6 years old. They had to choose an extra little boy at the last moment, and they put him in the play. And he was told what to say. He was the last one. They were all three wise men. And the first one walked up, and he presented his gift to the baby Jesus, and all he said was gold. The second one walked up and he presented his gift and he said myrrh. Well, the third one, who didn't have any time to practice and was just told what to say, he walked up and he presented his gift and he said, Frank sent this. Sometimes we get things a little off, don't we? Well, you know what? I don't think we understand the gifts that was given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These were gifts worthy of a king. Gold, myrrh, frankincense, they were all very precious during that time, as gold still is today. All these things are very, very, very precious, and they were given to royalty. So these wise men recognized that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we read this story about Jesus and about the wise men coming to present these gifts, we need to recognize that this, although he was born in a lowly manger, he is the King of all things, of all time. He's the creator. He is God in the flesh. It's powerful. It's God's love to mankind. He sent his only begotten son. It's so powerful. And sometimes, you know, if you've been a Christian for a long time, some of these things that we talk about, it's just, you know, it's old hat. Yeah, I've heard that before. We really need to concentrate on it. When we talk about love, we're talking about a unique kind of love. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about the different types of love found in the New Testament, in the Greek. And there, as for us, we have an English word called love. And in that love, we express different types of love. Love for our family, love for my wife, love for brothers and sisters in Christ, just one word. But in the Greek, they had four different words that they used to express different types of love. And we're going to look at that. But to begin with, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because this is where I get my message this morning. Title of my message. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Let me share that with you from the Message Bible, because I think it's a lot more powerful when we read it this way. Go after a life of love, as if your life depended on it, because it does. Amen. Go after a life of love. Don't just love now and then. Don't just love when you feel like it. Go after a full and complete life of love. Love should be the motivating factor in everything that you do. Love has to be. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we must follow after the example that he set for us. And he had compassion and love for all of mankind. The word of God is very clear. God sent his only son because he loves the world. Send him down here because he loves mankind as decrepit and corrupt as we are. He loves us.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Go back one chapter. This really drives home what we want to talk about this morning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, verse 1, chapter 13, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. And then it goes on to explain what love is all about and how it reacts. But here's what I want you to get from this scripture. Everything we do must be motivated by love. Our whole life has to be encapsulated in the love of God. You can do all kinds of mighty things, mighty works for the kingdom of God. And I got a feeling that someday people are going to stand before, in fact, the scripture tells us, they're going to stand before the Lord and say, I cast out demons for you. I healed the sick for you, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How can people be so powerful? How can they walk in the power of Almighty God and still not be motivated by the love of Jesus Christ? I don't know, but it's very possible. But I know this, that if we are motivated by the love of Jesus to reach out and touch the lives of other people, they're going to be the manifestation of the power that takes place, the gifts that come, that are manifest in our lives, will be an example to the world of the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They'll see it. They'll understand it. They'll know it. Surely, when you're in the presence of someone who loves, you know it. I did a funeral this week, and while I was there, the presence of God was there for the family. And they were a close family, but as I was preparing to get up right before that, one of the gentleman's about seven-year-old grandson came in and sat on his lap. And he sat there and, you know, he talked to his grandson, and he hugged his grandson, and he kissed his grandson. You know, I was in the presence of love. You could see it. You know it. Listen, you know when somebody is doing something and they're motivated by love. Let's talk this morning about some different types of love. First of all, let's get a definition of love. An intense feeling of deep affection. A profound, tender, passionate affection for another person. A feeling of warm personal attraction or deep affection, as for a parent, child, or a friend. A sexual passion for desire. It's part of it. To have a profound, tender, passionate affection for another person. As we talk about the different types of love, it's very important that we recognize that some of these loves are very human type loves, very natural, very carnal in their nature. But they're an important part of who we are. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7, it says, many waters cannot quench water, cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. There's a physical, natural love that we have. But as we talk about those kind of loves, we're going to have to recognize that there is a love that supersedes and overpowers just our natural love.
Yes.
The agape love of God. It's a love that we must have in our lives to be able to function the way God told us to function. The kind of love that allows us to forgive those who do nasty things to us. The kind of love that causes us to hold fast to our family when they let us down. It's the kind of love that causes churches to come together and hold fast to one another, even when there's offense, because we're bigger, stronger, we're above that. Hallelujah. Somewhere around 2-3 AD, Jesus was born of a virgin. That was prophesied 700 years before it took place. Seems like God takes a long time to bring about his prophecies. It's okay. It's in his time. That's why when you get a personal prophecy, hold on to that.
Right.
If you believe it's from God, hold on to it, because it's God's timing, not yours. He was not only born, according to prophecy, by a virgin, but he was born in the place the prophecy said in Micah, 750 years before Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. There are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled through the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we're holding on and waiting for the other prophecies to be fulfilled of his return to this earth, of his millennial kingdom, of the power of God to bring about a world kingdom here on this earth where he reigns and rules in righteousness, and we get to reign and rule with him. Amen. I hold on to that because I know these other prophecies have been fulfilled. The rest is coming. You can count on it. It's going to happen. I stand up here and preach these things to you because I believe it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't waste my time. I can say this, you know, praise God for the salary I have here at Bethel Worship Center, but it's not worth it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I wouldn't do it for the salary. You could probably pay me three times what I'm being paid, and I still wouldn't do it for the salary. I do it for the kingdom, because I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not only that, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. Hallelujah. And every day I can proclaim that and believe it. Let's look in the scripture the four types of Greek love in the Greek New Testament. The first one, it's eros love. Eros love is a physical, sensual intimacy between two people. It's a Greek term which actually means desire and longing. Now, for some of you, I may make you a little uncomfortable this morning with what I'm about to talk about, because we're talking about the sensual, sexual type of love. That's the kind of love that is eros love, and it's very much so in the Bible. Now, I talk about this openly because, first of all, it's supposed to be in the context of marriage. When it's in the context of marriage, it's wonderful, it's fulfilling, it's powerful, it draws two people together, it's fulfilling. If it's done in any other way outside of the context of marriage, it destroys lives. If it's fornication, which is two unmarried people having sex together, if they do that over and over and over with other people, they lose a part of themselves. God created that this experience for us to become one flesh. That's what he's talking about. And when we become one flesh with more than one person over and over and over again, we lose something that is very important to us and in us. So the most important thing that I want to talk about in regards to this kind of love is that it's God's love placed in the marriage relationship so that we can be fulfilled as human beings. God created male and female, and he instituted a marriage in the Garden of Eden. And he created it in such a way that it was intended to be between one man and one woman. Now, I know people get divorced. Things happen. I'm not condemning anyone here this morning. I want you to understand that. You don't always have control over these things. Whatever happened needs to be put behind you. If you are remarried, work on that marriage. If you're not remarried yet, look for the one that God has called into your life so that you can be fulfilled in that relationship with that person, so that it becomes all that God intended it to be in your life. Listen to what, there's a couple places that this kind of love is talked about. Now, the word eros is actually not in the Greek New Testament. However, if you go into the Old Testament and you read the Song of Solomon, you will read a lot of that type of love and expression between Solomon and his beloved. If that kind of stuff embarrasses you, don't read that book. But if you want to know what God is teaching us about it, it's a great book. Now, it's not only about a man and woman relationship. I believe it's about human and God relationship as well. There's more to it than that. But it's an important book for us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about it. In Proverbs 5:18 and 19, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Okay, I can be enraptured. My wife's not young anymore, but I can be enraptured with her love. God's very clear in his word. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9, and then I'm going to move on from this. You can relax. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Paul was saying, I'm not married. You should remain that way if you can. However, it's not a commandment of God. He goes on to say, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Very simple. This is God's design. Eros love is meant to be celebrated within the confines of marriage. So all of us can celebrate this type of love together. Don't be embarrassed by it. Don't run from it. But remember, Paul also taught it was the responsibility of man and wife to continue in that relationship. At times you may abstain from prayer, through prayer and fasting, but your relationship with your husband and wife is supposed to be a part of this eros love. I'm sharing something with you this morning that I hope will encourage you. I want to give you wisdom from the Word of God. Benjamin Franklin said this, "We are all born ignorant, but you must work hard to remain stupid." I don't want us to be stupid. The word of God's clear. The second kind of love I want to talk about this morning is philia love. This is a unique kind of love that you have for a companion, a pal. It refers to loving one another just like a brother or a sister that you love, a biological. Philia also means close relationship or brotherly love. Of course, we have a city here in the United States, Philadelphia, which is referred to as the city of brotherly love because it's named after this Greek word. There are several forms of it used in the New Testament. Phileo, Philadelphia, Philadelphos. And there's a few other forms of this word. But the purpose of this type of love is for us to have this love for, particularly for the body of Christ. In Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. This is Philadelphia. That's the word there. In honor, giving preference to one another. This is the kind of love that we're to have in the body of Christ for each other. Now, it confounds me sometimes that people say they love the body of Christ or they love a certain group of the body of Christ, and then for whatever reason, they get offended. They don't like the way things are going. Something happens, and man, they're out the door before you know it. And they don't even talk to anybody about it. They don't even let people know. How can you love the brethren and treat people like that? Well, I understand God calls people in different directions, tells you to go here and go there. Sometimes God takes a person out of one church and puts them in another. If that's the case, praise God. Usually people will come to me and say, you know, Pastor Rob, this is just the way, you know, I'm feeling that God's leading me. You know what I do? I don't always like it. I'm not excited about when somebody moves on, but I try my best not to take it personal. I try to allow it to be a God thing so that we can send them out, pray for them, and let them move on into whatever it is that God has them. And you know what? Sometimes God moves them out, and then he brings them back. I like that bringing back part. I love it. But it's difficult. It's difficult to have this phileia love in the body of Christ because we get offended so easily. Things don't always go our way. But if we really love the brethren, we'll overlook those things and we will love indeed. You see, this type of love is really the type of love that is built based on experience. And I think part of the problem with the body of Christ is that we're not having enough experience with each other in ministry. So many churches these days, people come in on Sunday morning, and then they go back out the door, and they have no other experience with those people except the Sunday morning worship service. And I thank God that people come for that. But there is so much more to the church. That's why I encourage people to get involved in small group. If you get involved in a small group, you begin to develop relationship with people. You begin to have experience with people. You begin to go through things with people. You see, phileo love is developed through going through difficulties with other people because it is experiential. And when you don't have that experience, of course it's easy to pick up and leave those people. That's why we need to have these experiences. I read a story about two gentlemen during World War I. And World War I was a horrible war of trench warfare where the two opposing forces they dug trenches and they would hide out in the trenches, you know, with the bombs flying and mortars, and then at times they would come out of their trenches and run toward each other and have battle. And it was terrible. You know, war is terrible, period. War is never God's idea. Let's make that perfectly clear. Never is it God's idea. Am I saying we should not defend our country? We should not defend ourselves? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's never God's idea. God has better things for people. But these two guys, they were buddies. And they had one of those times when they went out of the trenches and one of them fell. He was shot. Bill. And Jim came back to the trench. And he asked his commanding officer, Can I go get Bill? Bill's left out there. I need to go get Bill. And commander said, no, don't do it. You'll die. Well, he stood as long as he could, and he got up, and he ran out, and he got to Bill. Bill was still alive, and Bill said some few things to him, and he grabbed Bill, and he drug him back to the trench. And when he got back there, the commanding officer, he was already dead when he got back. The commanding officer looked at him. He said, "Now, was it worth it?" He said, he looked at his commanding officer, and he said, "Yes, it was worth it. Because when I got there, he looked me in the eyes, and he said, 'I knew you would come.'" That kind of relationship can only be developed through battles. We're willing to die for somebody because we've seen them stand with us and we've stood with them. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. It is an experiential love, but it's one that has to be developed in the body of Christ. The last one, or the third one, is storge love. Storge love is family love. It's a bond among mothers and fathers, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers. Now, it's the same kind of love. It interacts with phileo love. But in a family, when it's flesh and blood, it's not about experiential love as much as it is just a human bond. Tammy and I worked with neglected and abused children in the past. And it didn't matter what kind of experience those children had with their mother and father. They always wanted to be with their family. Some of them were horribly abused. It didn't matter. There was a bond between them and those parents. That's the kind of love that should be a part of our families, that we recognize that we're going to love our children no matter what they do. We're going to stand with our spouse no matter what happens. We're going to stand with them. We're going to believe in them for better or for worse, remember? And sometimes it's worse, but we stand together. It's the kind of love that is an innate kind of love that's built inside of us for our flesh and blood. And it's an important part of sharing and family. You all know that I'm all about family. I love to have my family around. I want, on holidays, I expect my family to be around. You know, not having church service on Sunday evenings, my expectation is, I don't always get my way, but my expectation is that my family will be around, that my kids will hang around, will be there, and we'll spend time together. There's nothing more important than family, but remember, the body of Christ is family. And so what has to happen is that not only are we supposed to have that phileo kind of love for one another that is an experiential love, we're supposed to have this storge love as well that is built inside of us because we have the Holy Spirit inside. Because each one of us has the Spirit. And because of that, there's a natural bond between us and with us. And it doesn't matter what our children do. Doesn't matter. We'll stand with them. Doesn't matter. See, that's why it doesn't matter that some people will go out from us. We still want to love them. Some people are not behaving according to what the Scripture says. We're still going to love them. This week, I read a story about a father who, his daughter, they raised their daughter in church. He was a pastor, actually, and they raised the daughter, had a wonderful little baby, and she was born. She was, you know, wonderful. They raised her up in church. They raised her to serve God. And when she got old enough, she went to Bible school, and then she went into the mission field. And what he didn't realize was that she went into, I think maybe she went to Haiti. I'm not exactly sure. But there, wherever she was confronted with some supernatural powers that she was not prepared for. Now, I will say this. That is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important to the body of Christ. Because we are empowered to be able to deal with those things. Those who are not empowered to deal with them can be overcome by them. This young lady was overcome by it. She came back to the States, and she was a mess. And now she's living an ungodly lifestyle. She's living a homosexual lifestyle. And this father was broken. He didn't hate his daughter. He was crying for her, and he's asking people to pray for her. But this is what he said about the church that she's in, because she goes to church every Sunday. She's a regular at church. It's church that tells her all is fine. It's a church that prides itself on accepting people's lifestyle and being non-judgmental. It's a church where love is pretty much equated with tolerance. That's what our society is saying today. It's a church where people are made as comfortable as possible in their sin. Now listen. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as one who wants to express the love of Jesus Christ, I also have a responsibility to tell people that God calls certain things sin. If you're in an adulterous affair, if you're having fornication, you're having sex outside of marriage, you're outside of God's will. If you're in a homosexual relationship, you're outside of God's will. God has better for you. He doesn't hate you. But unless you know Jesus as your personal Savior and turn from your ways, your destiny is hell. And the love that is inside of me causes me to express this to you this morning, that there is an answer for these things. There is healing in Jesus Christ. There is hope. I express this to you, but not because I'm angry at anybody or I'm upset, because I care enough to say so. And if people listen to this on the podcast, I want you to know, God loves you. Repent and turn to Jesus. There's hope. The last type of love I want to share with you is what I have heard called agape love. However, as I studied it and tried to understand the proper pronunciation of this word, in the Greek, it actually should be called agape, which doesn't really matter to me because I know it as agape, and that's what I'm going to call it this morning. And you probably all have heard it that, called it agape. So agape love is the most important kind of love because it covers all those loves that we talked about. It's the God kind of love. Agape love is selfless. It's sacrificial. It's unconditional. It's the highest kind of love you can even imagine. It's the God kind of love. It's the kind of love that caused God to come to earth and then die for man's sins. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is agape. God is love. There's several variations of that word in the Greek New Testament. And agape is the term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable, unequivocal kind of love. It's beyond any human emotion that we can have. The agape kind of love is the kind of love that is committed no matter what. It's unconditional. I love you. Not because you deserve it. Not because you've done something good for me. Not because you make me feel good. But because I love you. That's the love that God has bestowed upon us. That's the love that came down 2,000 years ago and was born in a manger, grew up to be a savior, a healer, a prophet, a deliverer, that walked among the people and loved them so much they had compassion on those who were sick and afflicted of the devil. And he healed all who came to him. He delivered any who were demon-possessed. He set them free. And then he went to the cross for all of us. He spread his arms out this wide to show us just how much he loves us. And he died shedding his blood for our sins. What a God we serve. Agape should never be determined by our feelings. Agape is way beyond that. Agape kind of love that we're talking about is the same kind of love. You remember the story in John chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan? We're not going to go there and read it, but I'll just kind of highlight it. There was a Jewish guy that was going down to Jericho. And on his way, he was met by thieves who took all he had and beat him up. Jesus is telling this story. He's telling it to the religious order of his day because he knows how religious they are. And he tells that, first of all, a priest walks by and sees the man, and he sees how mangled up he is, and instead of helping, he goes around him and goes on his way. Then a Levite comes, a religious leader as well, one who works in the temple. And he sees the man and he also walks around him. Finally, the third person that comes is a Samaritan. Now you have to understand something. Jesus was talking about someone that the Jews hated. They hated the Samaritans. It went all the way back to Ezra and Nehemiah, where the Samaritans were not allowed to be able to worship with the Jews. They hated one another. Remember Jesus at the well? He encountered the Samaritan woman. She said to him, "How is it that you being a Jew would even talk to me?" Not only that she was a woman, but she was a Samaritan woman, the lowest of low in the Jewish eyes. This Samaritan comes along, and what does he do? He does what is right. The question was, who is my neighbor that I should love them? So Jesus gives this parable. The Samaritan picks the guy up, takes care of him, takes him on into town, takes him to an inn where he can be cared for. Not only does he take care of him there, but when he leaves, he pays the man extra money to take care of this wounded Jew. And he said, if there's any more, any other cost, I'll come back and pay you. That kind of love, that kind of compassion for someone you do not even know is more than any human love that we can exhibit or muster. It has to be a God kind of love. It has to be a recognition that I'm going to show love to that person no matter how I feel about them, no matter what they do, no matter what kind of condition, no matter what lifestyle they lead. Well, we as Christians sometimes, we can be good about loving people that live the same kind of lifestyle as we do. But we're pretty critical of those who don't. Where's the love in that? I'm not telling you that we accept their lifestyle. I'm telling you we love the people. Stand with me. We're going to wrap this up. Jesus, when he was born into manger, very interesting. Some historical facts have been revealed in the last few years that really shine some light on things that took place during that time. This manger was not just an ordinary manger. It most likely it was a Magdal Adar. It was a tower of the shepherds. And these towers were built for to watch out for enemies. But the shepherds had adopted them to care for their lambs. Now, the shepherds around Bethlehem were unique shepherds because they were shepherds that provided lambs for sacrifice in Jerusalem. These particular places that Jesus was born in was particularly equipped for sacrificial lambs to be born. And not only sacrificial lambs, but also lambs that would be used for the Passover sacrifice. And when one of those lambs was born in these places, they were inspected, and if they were without spot or blemish, they had strips of cloth that they used to wrap around the legs of those lambs to protect them because they wanted to keep them without spot or blemish. Those lambs were particularly cared for in that place. When Jesus was born, the scripture tells us that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those swaddling clothes came from the fact that they were there prepared to wrap the legs of the lambs that were going to be sacrificed during Passover. Jesus was our Passover lamb. He was born for that very reason. There is more to where he was born and how he was born than just the fact that he was born in a manger. God's plan was being played out right from the very beginning for all of us to be able to read about, study it, and understand it. Praise God, we get to worship during this time of year. We get to recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's awesome. But there's so much more to that. It's not just the birth of the Savior. We look beyond that. We look to his death, burial, and resurrection for us. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you. I know I keep telling you, and I'm going to keep telling you, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Be prepared. Live your life in such a way every day that you're pleasing your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you for your love. Your love is so awesome. It's beyond anything that we can even imagine, Lord. But help us every day to exhibit your love, your agape love, wherever we go. Others will see that it's not us. It's the Savior in us. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. Lord, we just give you glory and honor today as we go forth from this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you'd like prayer for healing, please come up. Ask our prayer warriors to come up and pray. If you need special prayer, they'll be here for you. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.